The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.
Getting you closer to rugby with Irish Independent Park. Epic stories start here.
Good evening, folks. You're very welcome along to Semple Stadium, where we are broadcasting live in the wake of Cork's defeat to Waterford.
I don't know what to say, to be honest. We just didn't play at all. I don't know what it's down to. It could be because they were so good or we were so bad. I'm kind of stuck for words, to be honest.
Former Cork captains Pat Mulcahy and Moss Mulcahy will be joining us live for a discussion shortly along with the Evening Echo's Eamon Murphy coming up very, very shortly. Also on the show tonight, we're going to discuss the Camogie side's defeat to Galway today.
You know, to give 10 or 11 points of lead at half-time was asking an awful lot of us, you know. But, you know, I really thought we stood up in the second half. And once we went back to what we were good at, we caused them endless problems, you know.
That's all coming up over the next hour right here on the Big Red Bench, live from Semple Stadium. Rory and Lisa here with you for the next hour. If you'd like to get in touch, 086 8104 106. You can tweet us as well at Big Red Bench if you want to get in touch. We will of course be discussing Cork's defeat to Waterford. 124 to 17 points was how that finished earlier on today. A disappointing result, Lisa.
Very deflating after the two defeats. I genuinely came down to Thurles today thinking that we could come away with two league titles, but two very disappointing defeats, probably for two very different reasons. So we'll talk more about the Camogie later on, but start with the hurlers and what was a comprehensive win for Waterford.
Yeah, it was a fantastic performance from Waterford, a 10-point win for them earlier on today. 124 to 17 points was how it finished. To discuss it, we are joined by former Cork captains, Tomás Mulcahy and Pat Mulcahy. First off, lads, thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Also, first off, any relation?
No relation, as me all in my heart would say. No relation.
We're also joined by Eamon Murphy of the Cork Evening Echo. Eamon, how are you, sir?
I was better probably about 3 hours ago, I think. Obviously, no, it's pretty disappointing. Pretty disappointing, so.
Pat, I might start with yourself. A 10-point margin today for Waterford. Is that a fair reflection on the game?
It probably is, Rory. It probably is. Look, it was disappointing from, I suppose, start to finish. Waterford led right from the first minute, and it was a comprehensive win for them, and overall a disappointing day for Cork.
And Tomás, would you have any arguments with this result?
None whatsoever. I think from early days, I think Waterford set the tempo. I think Cork needed a good start. Cork needed to take the game to Waterford to upset the game plan that they have themselves and upset their rhythm, but it didn't happen. And just Waterford got off to the encouraging start and a couple of points over the board, and they asked all the questions of Cork, and there was no response when it came to it, you know. So, I mean, people say it is negative about Waterford that they go back into defence and defend, but I mean, when you put up 124, it's very, very positive, you know. They have a certain game plan, but they can play and they apply themselves very, very well today, and Cork had no answer.
Mm. Well, let's talk about this game plan then, because that's what the bulk of the pre-match talk would be about, this Division 1B team. Pat, talk us through what the game plan is and how it works so well for Waterford.
Well, I suppose it's a little similar to what Clare did maybe 2 years ago, where today they put Mark Shannon in full forward, they brought Stephen Bennett between the corner forward and half forward line, kept Park Mahoney out centre forward, and then they drifted their three forwards out the field. So basically Cork had two and a half, sometimes three defenders free, but they flooded midfield. And what Waterford used to do is when they win ball out of defence, they would pick out those midfielders and shoot from distance. And a lot of time the Cork full back line were inside, the extra men were there, but the ball was going in over the heads over the bar. So it looks defensive, but it actually works quite well because they're scoring out the field. And at the far end, their half back line is so deep that they don't allow the Cork full forward line that space to put ball in front of them to get scores. So they're compact in defence, even though they have six backs, but they flood midfield and the Cork half back line effectively, and they leave space inside. They don't get a high return inside, but they get a high return out on the middle of the field, and as a result Cork were outrun today on the middle of the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty comprehensive analysis there from Pat, but ultimately it's up to Cork to break that zone, which they didn't do today.
Yeah, I suppose a stat that jumped out to me afterwards was that Patrick Horgan and Paddy O'Sullivan didn't score from play, and Brick Walsh and Kevin Moran, who basically are kind of, you know, midfield centre back type players who were moved up to the half hour line for a bit of graft, and they got 5 points in play between them. So I suppose you can say it's a defensive system, but if it's a system that frees up space for the likes of those players who wouldn't be shooters, yeah, to actually pick off points, I mean, it's remarkably effective. I don't think Cork played to their strengths either, though, by having maybe Conor Lehan inside. You know, he's the type of player, I think, you know, Pat would have played a lot of it, the running game, and I think he's the type of guy who'd love playing off the shoulder of a half-back and taking a pop pass and running at defences. So I'd imagine come championship that would be maybe an alteration you do. But look, to be fair, like, you can't argue the amount of the score they put up was 124. That's huge scoring, you know. I mean, it's Cork were shut down and Waterford got their score, so there's absolutely no arguments that way. It's very, very effective.
And Tomás, on that system, Cork and not being able to get a handle on it at all.
Lisa, I was in Nolan Park 2 weeks ago when they played against Tipperary Waterford, and maybe the first 10 or 15 minutes did put in diagonal balls coming out of the fence. They had three guys, as Eamon said, on the ball and back in the fence. They worked the ball out to the half-back line to Patrick Maher, and he went diagonal across the field, and they end up getting two goals or 2-3 very, very quickly in the game against Tipperary did against Waterford. This time we didn't get there, you know. Sometimes when we had a free man back in the fence, the ball didn't clear their half-back line. We went straight back up to the men. You know, the Kevin Moorns of this world who was dropping deep, you know, and they won so much possession there, and they were very, very effective. And, like, their level of fitness is just incredible. I mean, to play that system, you've got a fitness, you've got to have a serious, serious attitude that you hunt down every ball, and their work rate was just incredible all over the field. How many times today did they get in hooks, did they get in blocks? Aidan Walsh, the ball in possession, they got in, touched the ball away from him, or forwards. As soon as they got onto clean ball, they were harried, they were. There was hooks, there was blocks there. And as Emma mentioned as well, every time we never got the running game going, we never got the open space, you know. And like Conor Lehan loves to be up and down the wing. Today he was inside, it was very, very tight. And the ball that was going into Alan Cadigan, Patrick Horgan, was all come down top of their head, 50-50 ball. And we didn't like that type of possession, and we struggled big time.
Pat, were there any positives for Cork today?
Not a huge amount, to be honest with you. Like, I suppose out of the league in general, I would have thought that Cork would have maybe found one or two forwards. If one or two forwards are going, probably be better than last year. A couple of question marks over the defence, but I think today the forwards didn't come off trumps, so there's a lot of question marks there. I suppose the big positive is the fact that Cork beat Waterford last year in the first round championship. It would have been difficult to win again today and then go back into the first round championship this year hoping to win. It is all about championship. I think Cork will learn an awful lot, and they've got a good few weeks now to sit down and plan for that game. And even Waterford will probably be the favourites going into that game, which will probably suit Cork.
Eamon, you mentioned Conor Lehan and his positioning today. Let's talk a little bit about the team and the way it was, the way it laid out, I suppose, and start from the back. And Aidan Ryan's inclusion at full back today. What did you think of him there?
Yeah, I thought he coped okay, considering, you know, he's in his late 20s. He doesn't have a whole lot of experience in that position, if you consider the fact he played wing back when he was Cork 21. And that's going back to 2007, you know. And obviously played centre forward in Middleton, won a county 2 years ago. So I thought he fared okay. I mean, he won a couple of clean possessions over Mara Shanahan's head. Maybe just, you know, maybe he didn't have the quickness of feet, but that could come down to experience. The lads would probably know more than I would in that regard. But I mean, when you're thrown in at the deep end of a game like that, it's huge pressure. So he fared okay. But I suppose what was disappointing was that kind of other experienced players around him had such little impact. I thought Shane O'Neill kind of just, you know, he had a couple of big turnovers, but a lot of times it was just that little bit off his man. Stephen McDonald gave away a couple of very poor frees. And, you know, a lot of these players did some good things, but I mean, just for their experience, for their class, you'd be expecting a lot more. Mark Ellis hardly touched the ball. No doubt that was Waterford's plan, to keep the ball away from him. You know, the midfield, which is pretty much a key for Cork, I think, in Kearney and Walsh, just didn't get going at all. And I think they get the fans going as well. It was a big Cork crowd and they had nothing to cheer about, you know, which was very disappointing.
And Tomás, you mentioned Waterford's fitness. Was there a massive gulf between them and Cork today in the fitness sticks?
Well, I'm basically talking about the game plan that I have. Guys, Colin Dunford coming from corner forward to midfield, the 2 half-forwards dropping out towards midfield, Kevin Moran going back into the wing-back position or half-back position and freeing up Austin Gleeson. And like we've seen Austin Gleeson so many times over the years as a minor, he's a fantastic athlete. And playing a half-forward maybe against Cork last year in the championship, he got a fantastic goal, and like they put him back in the centre-back now. He's their kingpin, but every time he gets ball, all he wants to do is run forward. Break forward. He got a great score there in the second half. Some against Tipperary, they got a goal from the same position as well, running from halfback. So they run from very, very deep, and you have to have a certain level of fitness, but you must be able to buy into that game plan. You must have an understanding. And like time and time again, when they went to a certain part of the field, they started giving the ball to their sharpshooters. Bobby Gomani came on the ball a few times, you know. Jimmy Byrne got on the ball a few times, and they came out of defence. The short hand pass, and it was bang over the bar from long distance. They weren't carrying right into Cork's defence. They were actually getting to the half-hour line and then popping passes out. And like they got some magnificent scores. I mean, some of the points taken there in the second half was just incredible. I mean, if it was Cork, we'd be sitting tonight and saying, what a fantastic performance. It was absolutely brilliant. So I think a lot of credit must go to them. Their work over the winter time, obviously, their work continuously at training on this, right? And I mean, it's a side, maybe they think their full back line is a bit open and stuff like that. We need to tighten it up. We were conceding too many scores, and it's worked really, really well. And it's going to take a serious team to break it down now, because if we said about Clare in the past, how do you break it down? How do you get by? But if you have an extra man back there that can really gain, that's sweeping up, that's collecting a lot of breaking ball and setting up attacks, it's very, very hard to do.
I think Cork maybe as well, you know, you mentioned sweeping, like Tomás mentioned sweeping. Like, if you look at Cork and Cormac Murphy in the sweeping role, and I know he's probably got the longest puck of the back six, you know, but like, look, it's kind of a big booming clearance that probably suited Waterford. It would have been better maybe to have someone like Lorcan McLaughlin, who's very intelligent on the ball, actually taking those possessions off the full back line. And also Cormac Murphy, again, he's inexperienced, he's only 22, it's his first season, and there was times when Lorcan McLaughlin was actually looking for a pass off Cormac Murphy or other backs and breaking off his man out by doing it, and he never got it. So I'd say Cork will, you know, they'll address that for championship, I've no doubt whatsoever.
I think he's right there, maybe like the likes of Patrick Horgan, maybe he needed to come out maybe to be even to centre forward or something like that, you know. Conor Lehan even towards midfield, and that breaking ball that was there, or the Cormac Murphy, that possession that he was getting it to the sharpshooters. I mean, Lehan got 5 points today, and you'll say at times, was he in the game, was he not in the game, but he ends up getting 5 points of play. He's very, very accurate ball in hand. Patrick Horgan the same. We had too many guys tied up inside that were bottled up and just needed to get into the game, and it didn't happen for him. Hopefully the next day, you know, it's all, and Pat mentioned it's all about championship, you know, and like in a couple of weeks this takes on even greater importance. They're backed into a corner now, the Cork team themselves, the setup, the management, the whole lot, you know. So let's hope from a Cork point of view they'll come out fighting.
Yeah, can I just come in on a couple of things there as well, actually, because Pat, you know, we talked a lot last year about the spine of the team being strengthened after 2013 and missing out on an All-Ireland there. There's gaps now opening up in different positions in the field. Is the team going backwards a little bit?
I think if you talk about the spine, Lisa, like, you know, fullback is obviously an issue. Personally, I would put Matt Donnelly or Shane O'Neill in there. I think they've got the experience, and I would look to fill the cornerback position. I think it's a tough ask to fill that position. Like, to be a fullback, you need to be a bit of a dog in there, and you need to have huge experience. Mark Ellis, you know, has been sick early on the year and has been out for the last couple of weeks as well, and he just is not the same player he was last year, but he's got time on his side to build on that. But you know, he's lacking maybe match practice more from where he was this time last year. Bill Cooper played centre forward last year, he's out in the wing this year, so they probably just lack that spine that they had last year, but they have time. But you know, just in relation to how you play this system, how you counteract it, you need to be patient. That's the first thing. It's a game of chess against these teams, and if you're up a point or 2 points, and you know, if it's 5 points or six at half time and you're up a point, then you need to have that patience, because you know that if you're up a score with 10 minutes to go, they'll open up and they'll have to come at you, and then you can hit them. So combined with maybe bringing your shooters to midfield, to crowd out midfield, to win that area, you also need huge patience against teams like Waterford or Clare's. But the whole Munster Championship is fascinating. You know, you've Cork and Tip are probably more traditional, you've Clare and Waterford who bring in a certain style, and then you've Limerick as well. So it's going to be a fascinating Munster Championship.
Yeah, so Eamon, where do Cork have to improve in the next 5 weeks?
I think there's probably a slight attitude thing going on, maybe, you know, I mean, they didn't match the work rate. I mean, obviously we've discussed the tactics a lot, and no doubt there'll be a different man sweeping, and you know, maybe Hoggy might start at centre forward or something like that. But I think bottom line is they just have to match that tenacity. I don't think in any line of the pitch really they match that. I think every line they were beaten in. So I think it's an attitude of work rate. I think Tomás mentioned, you know, the players are backed into a corner as well. It's up to them to respond, but there's going to be a lot of talk on Twitter and everywhere else that people are going to be mentioning about Jimmy Barry Murphy's tactics again and all the rest. And definitely Cork, I don't think they put themselves in the strongest position to win the way they played, but I think it's going to come down to absolute drive from the players. Like, they played Clare last year in a Munster semi-final, nursing a grudge from the All-Ireland, and it was their best performance of the year. So you'd be hoping that it'll come down to something like that. Like, I don't think the personnel would change a huge amount. You might mix it up and put Luke O'Farrell inside, and that he might be more of a goal threat, possibly. And maybe today showed that Paddy is better coming off the bench. Yeah. You know, he played for 60 minutes, and maybe 25-30 minutes is better suited to him now after the injuries he's had. But I think it'll come down to the players' attitude, and I think it does a lot of the time. You know, once you get their best players in their best positions, after that it's up to them. I think the gauntlet has been thrown out to them today.
And Tomás, the Cork team have been, you know, lauded in recent weeks after performances in which they've made big comebacks. But today Waterford started and finished strong. Was that the difference? Maybe, yeah, I mean, Cork weren't at back into the game?
If you're going to talk about a negative about Cork, I think it's their start, to be honest, which I expected Cork to come out of the blocks very, very quickly today, try and put up 5 or 6 points on Waterford, and then you would have asked questions about Waterford game plan. Will they have to come out and chase the game? But if the opposite happened, I mean, Waterford got all the initiative today, playing the game plan that they had, and they said, we're comfortable in this now, right? And you have to come now and break us down. And Cork just struggled so many times getting free ball and trying to maybe go down the centre all the time, where the option was to go down the wings or put it out in front of our forwards, right? And, you know, like the Seed Island Cadigan having to try and win ball down top his head, and other guys, they're not able to do that, right? But they love the quick ball, they love the fast one, and we never got into a stride today, and we're never allowed to do that, you know. And I think the start is crucial, I think. You know, you can come back so many times from big leads and stuff like that, but sometimes your luck runs out and you've got to take the game to your opposition. And like, we haven't done that in the last couple of matches. We've been kind of like the Dublin game, like, to be honest, like, we were lucky we weren't beaten by nine or ten. But let back into it, right? We weren't beat by nine or ten points in that game. You know, we got lucky, got back into it, and we left ourselves an awful lot to do. Come up a team like Waterford or Tipperary or Clare, when they get into that position, you're going to find it very, very hard to peg back. So I think that first 10 or 15 minutes, there are fantastic talent in the team, you know. I mean, people all over the country talk about Leanne, the Horgans, you know, the Shamie Hardy, I thought, tried very, very hard today as well, you know. But you got to back it up with a bit of fight and a bit of spirit and stuff like that as well. And that was missing in a lot of places today. Cop pride themselves on championships, so like, I'm sure Jimmy and Mac Landers and the backroom team, they get them down, they'll set them down again, and like, there is something now to hold on to, there's something to fight for, and that's what I would expect in the next couple of weeks, that these guys will take the pain from today and take the bit of hurt, because there will be a bit of hurt there, you know. I mean, I think Patrick Horgan was saying during the week, they've won a Munster championship medal, I think there's two of them have won a minor championship medal, I think, over, right? So they haven't had a whole lot of success, to say they can rest on the laurels, right? You know, you can't go through a playing career of 7 or 8 years or 10 years and say I've a Munster championship medal. So you've got to start winning, and I'm sure that's what's going to happen over the next couple of weeks.
What changes would you make, Pat?
Well, first of all, in the full back line, I would certainly bring Steve McDonald or Shane O'Neill to full back and fill the cornerback position. I think you'll probably stay with the same half back line for championship. Just Mark Ellis just needs plenty of sessions and plenty of hurling. Midfield, it's difficult to change it. In the half forward line, I'd maybe try Bill Cooper centre forward, or maybe a bit more fluid with Seamus Harnedy, maybe moving him in and out more often, and maybe Conor Lehan to the half forward line on top of that. But look, you know, he's used a lot of players throughout the league and the Waterford Crystal, but it still comes down to the players that were picked today were probably the best players to play in the last maybe 8-10 games. So I don't think he's going to have too many changes. I don't think he can afford to have it, but the players that he has are certainly going to have to step up the next day.
And Pat, just as you're speaking there, as CIT boss this year, obviously you came up against a number of these Waterford lads in the Waterford, yep.
There was five, I think, in the panel today. Look, they're a different breed of player again. They're in terms of like they're tenacious. They have a huge hunger to win. WIT this year played 3 games in 5 days. 2 of those games were an extra time, and they drew at UL at the very end. They've got huge heart and huge tenacity, and they don't fear Cork. You know, maybe traditionally Cork would have had it over the Waterford team psychologically, but these Waterford young players have won a lot of schools level, and they've won minor All Irelands, and they're different players to what maybe previous war teams were. They're more level headed, and they have a better sense of what it takes to win, and they're certainly going to be a difficult team to beat in championship.
And you know, phenomenal result for them today, Tomás, and you could see what it meant at the full time whistle. It'll be huge for confidence. I think it was Pat, you said it a few minutes ago, shades of Clare in 2013. How big a force can Waterford be this year?
Well, I mean, if you go back over the last couple of years, right? I mean, people were like, Waterford, the Hearty Cup success they've had, right? The challenge that they were making a minor and under 21, right? And this is a combination of all these guys coming through. The Aston Gleasons of this world, right, coming through from the age ranks. So they were doing something well over the last number of years in Waterford. They'd put a structure in place with their underage below there. Derek McGrath was very much involved in that, so he knows the quality of the underage talent who was coming through. He got a lot of stick below in Waterford at the start of the year when he started getting rid of the so-called older players and stuff like that in the squad, and he maybe just kept on to one or two, the Brick Walsh and the Kevin Moran at this stage, right? And things weren't beginning to happen so quickly for him, you know. And like, this is the biggest Waterford crowd that they've seen in a match over the year today, right? I mean, people weren't going supporting the team. They thought it was very, very negative. They thought it was very, very defensive. We've seen Cork play Waterford here across the road so many times over the years, and they were open, expansive games. They were high scoring games. Like, they've got better every match. Every game has been better. There's been steady progress, and like today I think was a culmination of getting 124 with the system that they play. It is exactly like where Clare are at, with Patrick Donnell in behind, and then the runners coming to midfield, and they're straight down the middle. And the key thing, they keep themselves in the game, because when you're running at defences, how many frees did Cork concede today? your man, I think Paul Rogamani, got 6 or 7 or 8 balls from place for A3s today, from place balls by guys running at the Cork defence, and they're pulling them down, and that's the system, and they keep themselves in a match all the time. Today was different, that they were ahead, going ahead at half time, and they got huge confidence going into the second half.
Alright, I think a bit of a post-mortem, alright, and this won't be the end of it either. I'm sure it'll be done for a few weeks yet, but I suppose lots of work to do ahead of Championship. We'll be back here in 5 weeks. Gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us this evening.
You're welcome. Cheers, thank you.
That's Pat Mulcahy and Tomás Mulcahy, former Cork captains, and Eamon Murphy of Cork's Evening Echo, discussing the game with us here live at Semple Stadium. After the game, we managed to get the thoughts of Jimmy Barry Murphy.
Very disappointed. We didn't expect to be beaten so comprehensively, obviously. We came up full of hope that we'd win the National League title, and I think we were comprehensively outplayed all over the field today.
What's the most disappointing aspect?
Just that we didn't perform anywhere near the level we'd like to think we can do, and I hope that all we can do is learn from it. All Waterford Wrexham today, has to be said, they played great hurling. Their system they play is brilliant for them. Their skill level was very, very high, and we just couldn't cope with them today.
And the system, I mean, did you get a chance to look at that? Do you feel you tried your, like, obviously you try your best to counteract it, but it didn't work for you today?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, we did look at them also. We looked at them all year, and they've been playing the same system, and it's working for them. But they have some tremendous young players, and as I said today, all you can do after the match is stand back and give them full credit for the way they played today. I thought they were credit Derek McGrath, and as I said there, if I was coaching that team, I'd be very, very proud of them as well.
Well, the heads be down now ahead of a Championship meeting against this side.
Yeah, they will, certainly. But, you know, we have to bounce back now. That's a test of the team's character and the people in charge. We've got to come back now and try and retrieve the situation in 5 weeks' time.
And where, like, in the 5 weeks, this is room to make an awful lot of improvement, I suppose, but where mostly from today?
Well, room all over the field. We've got to start at the back, and from 1 to 15 today, we've got to look at ourselves and see, can we raise our performance level to be anywhere near what Waterford are at today? Because if we don't, we won't win in the Championship either.
That's Cork boss Jimmy Barry Murphy there, speaking to a very own Lisa Lawler after today's game. The post-mortem continuing there with Pat and Tomás and Eamon. They're still continuing to talk with the game in the rain. You can see there's an awful lot to discuss, and there is an awful lot to discuss following that game. You were there, you were watching it. Was it a very, very good performance by Waterford or a poor performance by Cork?
It was a very good performance, both, Rory. It was a very, very good performance by Waterford. Very, very hungry, took some fantastic scores, and then just Cork flat, just flat, which is disappointing. I have to say now, speaking to a legend like Jimmy Barry Murphy, and for me to say to him that there's an awful lot of work to do, I was cringing as I said it, because it was like, do I realise I'm speaking to, and he had a little bit of a grin before he answered me, to be honest. No disrespect in saying that to someone like Jimmy, that there's an awful lot of work to do, but that's one way of looking positively at it, maybe, that there is an awful lot of work to be done. They didn't get beaten by Waterford comprehensively today and put in a savage performance. So yeah,
there's going to be a lot of negative headlines about Cork in the next coming days that they're going to have to deal with, but they're going to have to use that as a motivating factor heading into the Championship in 5 weeks' time.
Well, even as you played out Stephen McDonald's reaction at the top of the show, he just didn't know. He just couldn't.
Shell shocked.
He could not give me a reason for it. Now, it's in the immediate, very immediate aftermath, and I think he was a little bit kind of stunned by the whole thing and the manner and the defeat and how big the defeat was. Nobody expected that. I had the greatest of respect coming down here for Waterford today in terms of what they could do, but I still didn't expect that they'd be able to do that.
All right, we're going to hear from our selector Shawnee McGrath, who Lisa spoke to at the final whistle.
That was very disappointing. Like, obviously they've got a very well put together system, and it's hard to counteract it, but I suppose on the day as well, outside of the system alone, we just seem to be flat from the very start. We couldn't really get up to the pitch again for some reason. I don't know why. We trained very well, and it's very, very disappointing. They were excellent. Oh, just they got some great performances. Morris Shannon caused a lot of trouble, and Dunford was very good around midfield. They were just good all round. You know, they just knew where they were. They just seemed to be more organised. Kevin Moran had a great game, I think, at man of the match. Just overall, apart from even their game plan, though, individually they seemed to be way up to the pitch more than our fellas. It's a league final. We thought our fellas were well prepared, but obviously on the day we didn't reflect that. We were very, very poor and flat.
The flatness—that's happened a few times. You were flat against Dublin as well.
Yeah,
and maybe against Wexford.
Yeah, a bit of a worry, Joe. I mean, it's what the mantra we had all week was to start fast, try and build up a lead, and maybe counteract their plan that they might have to revert to type. But it didn't happen, which for some reason we can't put our finger on it. No, obviously we'll reflect on it. We have 5 weeks to reflect on it, but for some reason we just couldn't get out of the traps.
You've thrown on the gauntlet, Jimmy, or Shawnee, for the 52, haven't they?
Absolutely, they're a good side, though, John. Like they have good players. Kevin Moran mentioned, Dunford, Jimmy Barron, Jake Dillon, like they're all top class in the country players. They're one of the best free takers in the country in Paddy O'Mahony. So all around they're going to be a challenge for anyone, and they were brilliant in the league. They came through the division really well. They were there on merit, and they won their final today on merit, so it's going to be a hard challenge for us in a couple of weeks.
Well, is this the game play then? Do you think maybe you have to think outside the box and come up with a, you know, when you surface men back, you've an amount of ball in defence, and maybe
something to think about, Joe. Maybe we should have taken a chance a little bit earlier and pushed fellas up the field, like we were protecting the back line as well. So I don't know. Look, for now, in the aftermath of the defeat, it's hard to put your finger on it. But we'll just have to, because we'll have to come up with something in a couple of weeks to counteract it. No, not at all. No, we knew it was going to be a massive challenge. Not at all. Didn't think we'd be beaten by 10 points, mind you. But we knew it was going to be a huge game. Like, we didn't underestimate them by any stretch of the imagination. We knew they were a good side.
How do you feel about individuals, we'll say, in Ryan coming in there at fullback?
Oh, look, it was a hard ask for a lad to come into a league final at times. In the game, he did well. He caught two great balls before half time. It was a huge ask, and he was on an experienced campaigner in Maurice Shannon, who too had a great semi final against Tipperary. But look, we wanted to give fellas a go. We, like Aidan, had done well in training, had done well against Kilkenny. And at times I thought he did okay today. Other times he struggled, but he's not the only one. There was lots of fellas around the field, Lisa, that just didn't match up today.
Would you be mindful of the championship against
the Nautilus? I suppose you wouldn't. Like, you reflect as well. Like, it's a very, very disappointing defeat. But we have 5 weeks. They'll go back to the club for a couple of weeks. And no, we are a good side. At the same time, we got to a final. So, like, you don't become a bad team overnight. You know, we just will try and reflect and find out what went wrong and just train them hard and get ourselves ready for the 7th of June.
Coming weeks.
I suppose everything is up for grabs, John. Again, in the aftermath of the defeat, it's very hard to say that. Like, you know, we'll look at every fella. There are the fellas that are coming back in from long-term injuries, like Pat Cronin and these guys. And everyone will be given an opportunity. We'll train hard. We'll see how the club championships go, and everyone will be given their opportunity now in the next couple of weeks to stake a claim.
What about Seamus and Alan going off injured there? What's the status?
I think they're okay. Like, it's hamstring injuries. Both of them hamstring injuries. So we were a little bit worried first that Seamus had a knee injury, but no, it's just a hamstring. So you can nurse that. He should be okay. And we had a goal chance again in the second half. It was a Seamus as well, hit the crossbar. I mean, it was Lehan. Yeah, we had a couple of chances, but look, they were snapshots. Like, overall, though, the defeat was, you know, they won. It was comprehensive, and they won in merit.
Have you
had
any injury serious?
No, not serious injury, no. And Alan was a bit of a disappointment because he started very sharp. He won the first two frees, but look, he snapped it early. He could feel it straight away, so he has to take him off.
That's Rebel selector Seanie McGrath there speaking to us after today's defeat in Semple Stadium. And he touched on the injury situation. Now, Alan Cadogan not looking good for him.
No, went off early in the match and replaced by Paddy O'Sullivan, of course. Alan going down with a hamstring injury, of course, that's recurring because that's what ruled him out a couple of weeks ago, which is bad news, probably more so at this stage for Douglas because he possibly won't be available for them. We'll see how that plays out there in club championship football action next week. And then, Seamus Harnady, who went down hamstring as well, but hopefully with 5 weeks he can work on that and be back in time.
Fingers crossed indeed. If you have any thoughts on the game and Cork's performance today, you can text us 086 8104 106. You can tweet us as well at Big Red Bench. We are going to hear from a shell-shocked Stephen McDonnell speaking at the final whistle today. If I can press the right button, that is.
I don't know what to say, to be honest. We just didn't play at all. Like, I don't know what it's down to. It could be because they were so good or we were so bad. I'm kind of stuck for words, to be honest.
Yeah, what's the most disappointing thing? Is it that just completely flat?
You just didn't seem to play. I mean, 4 points on half-time isn't that bad. Like, you'd think we'd pull it back, but it just didn't happen for us again today, unfortunately.
Yeah, you weren't able to find that comeback kind of attitude you've had in the last couple of matches. Maybe they didn't allow it.
No, I really don't know. I suppose one thing I do know for sure is that we didn't work hard enough. And when you don't work hard enough, that's when stuff like that happens. Like, so I think that's what it's down to, effort, hard work. We didn't work as hard as we could, like, as a team, and that's what happens. Like.
And how much of a blow is it ahead of championship against this same side?
To be honest, I don't know if it'll be too much of a blow, because you can look, it's up to us if we treat it as a blow or if we treat it as a blessing. Like, and me, for one, I'm definitely going to treat it as a blessing. I'm going to learn as much as I can out of that game, and you know, that's my attitude. I know what the lads are saying, like, so we're going to learn a lot from that.
Yeah, that's Stephen McDonnell there speaking after today's game. I know it's hard for players to speak in the immediate aftermath of games like that, but even like he just couldn't formulate his feelings on it.
Yeah, he couldn't put his finger on it, but what I do think is a good attitude to have in the immediate aftermath there is that we're going to learn from this. It's not going to be a blow, and you know, he's taking responsibility for the fact that the players just didn't do enough themselves. So that's a good attitude to hear in the immediate aftermath of such a disappointing defeat. Going to learn from it, and will learn from it, is his attitude, which is good.
I know it's probably slightly condescending to say this to Waterford, and it's an old cliche, but it is only the league.
It is, but from a Waterford point of view, they've come from Division 1B playing what, I'll put this in inverted commas, lesser opposition.
Yeah.
Then they come to the knockout stages of Division 1A and topple some very big teams. Last year's beaten All-Ireland finalists when they beat Tipperary.
Yeah.
And that was seen as, you know, that was their All-Ireland final winning that day. Whereas today, they've just won a national title. And what this does is should fast-track the confidence that they've needed after, you know, so much change in the Waterford team. And Derek McGrath, the guys touched on it earlier on, the players that he dropped from the panel last year, he said himself in the lead up to this match that one of his regrets is that he didn't do that sooner in his tenure. So I think from a Waterford development point of view, and you know, Waterford are a side that are have so much tradition, to even speak about them in that vein when it comes to Munster Championship hurling feels a bit off. But I think what they will have taken from today is huge. But, and Eamon said it as well, I think when you look forward, you know, Cork played Clare last year in the Munster Championship as a scorned side. When they hurt, they played potential. So maybe today will be exactly what they need coming up against Waterford in the first round this year.
Well, I think what I was getting at when I said that is that from a Cork perspective, would you rather win today or in 5 weeks' time?
Exactly, Rory. I completely agree. It's only the league and, you know, we keep talking about the league being a learning curve for the bigger picture, which is Championship. And the lads said it as well, it's all about Championship in Cork, isn't it? So,
is.
You know, if this is a massive learning curve, we could talk about this in September, Rory. Touch wood, we'll talk about this in September as a turning point in Cork season.
Yeah, fingers crossed indeed. Waterford 124, Cork 17 points is how it finished. We are live outside Semple Stadium for the today's doubleheader. We'll talk about Cork and Galway next. Disappointment for Cork on the double today, beaten by Galway in the Camogie League final. That's next on the Big Red Bench.
The Big Red Bench.
Getting you closer to rugby with Irish Independent Park. Epic stories start here.
Red FM.
You're listening to the Big Red Bench on Cork Shed FM. We are live outside Semple Stadium. We were hoping for an epic day of Cork double goodness. It hasn't happened. Cork well beaten by Waterford in the National Hurling League final. 124 to 17 points was how it finished. And Galway coming away with the win over Cork in the Camogie League final. A bit narrower the scoreline, 215 to 212. But Cork had to fight back quite strongly to reduce the margin to just 3 points by the end.
Yeah, at halftime it was Galway 210, Cork 5 points in the first half. Just 1 point from play. That came from Breed Corkery and Orla Kosher. On target for the most part anyway from place balls then to you know, make up the 5 points. And then Cork, they really did gain control in the second half, but you know, probably ran out of time if they just left far too much to do for themselves with such a massive deficit at half time.
Yeah, we're going to hear from our boss Paddy Murray now speaking to Lisa after the game.
I suppose disappointed, really. Obviously a very good second half, but you know, to give 10 or 11 points of lead at half time was asking an awful lot of us, you know. But you know, I really thought we stood up in the second half, and once we went back to what we were good at, we caused them endless problems. You know, I think the problem in the first half, I think a lot of them froze probably on the big occasion and went away from really what we've been working on for the last year. So that part of us disappointed, you know. I'm disappointed with that, you know.
Both the second half, like, I mean, the early goal in the second half and throughout the second half, fought very hard.
Yeah, look, I suppose, you know, again, I suppose we won the second half hands down, but you know, you just don't give away a lead like that, and at this level anyway, and you know, try to peg it back. But look, I've used the league really to look at a lot of the younger guys, and I suppose going back down to Cork tonight, that you know, there's a number of questions really answered. So you know, I think that when we have everyone back, we'll be there and thereabouts.
What sort of questions are answered?
Well, look, just I suppose, are they up to the occasion? I think most of them really came through with quite well, really, you know,
because players that came off the bench as well made contributions when they came in.
Yeah, and look, that's I suppose that's what we're working at really, is that we want to have probably carry 10 or 5 subs that will come on day of match and make an impact, you know. And I think they all did, really. So you know, it's just a case of getting everyone back. We've a few that are just after coming back, so we need to get them fit as well, you know. So we've a bit of work to do yet. We've 6 or 7 weeks to play Galway in the first round of the championship, so that's a big deal for us, really.
And how disappointed are the group there now with that defeat?
I suppose, look, they're very, very disappointed. We wanted a win here, a good crowd here as well, so from that point of view, we're very, very disappointed. We really came up here to put on a show for them, really, you know.
And Galway were very impressive today, Paddy, and you've mentioned you'll meet them in championship again.
Yeah, look, they've been going very well at the moment. They're you know, they play a nice system as well. They upset us in the first half. You know, they were able to pull out our full back line and cause us problems inside, you know, so you know, but look, I think if we just look after ourselves, I think we'll be there and thereabouts if we can get everyone fit.
You'd be happy though, a lot learned from today.
Yeah, look, look, I don't like to lose anything, but overall, you know, look, I'm reasonably happy going away.
All right, thanks, Paddy.
Thanks. That's Cork boss Paddy Murray there speaking in the aftermath of that defeat to Galway. Not as disappointed as I thought he would be.
No, because he admitted even in the preview that, you know, he didn't expect to get to a league final. He wasn't. He was always going out to win matches, but it was all about learning. So probably more so, no disrespect to Camogie, but compared to hurling or maybe football, the Camogie League wouldn't be as well contested until you get to the final stages. So for him, it was all about, you know, learning the whole way along and probably
testing a few players.
Yeah,
and
I don't like to use the word bonus territory to get to a final, but you know, it is. You know, they've got to the final by learning a lot.
Yes, certainly. So we're also going to hear from our Galway boss, Tony Ward.
Look, we're a bit disappointed with our second half display. You know, going in, what, 10, 11 points up at half time. You know, you really should push on. But I suppose Cork aren't All Ireland champions for nothing. And there was a bit of a bite in them, and they came at us in the second half. But thanks be to God, we had enough score to stay ahead.
How pleasing is it for your group to beat the All Ireland champions?
That's just great for a young team. You know, as I said to you during the weekly, so, you know, we're a very young team. Their average age is 22. And you look at it's great for them. It's a great fillip going forward. And the good thing about it, I suppose, they got a bit of a wake up call in the second half. You know, they won't be going away thinking they're unbeaten. Or anything. They know now that they have to work hard for 60 minutes to win any game, and that'll be the way in 7 weeks' time when we play Cork in the Championship.
Yeah, how much did you learn ahead of that Championship meeting?
Actually, look, as you learned a lot. Anybody that came down here today, and even at halftime, they thought Cork were going to lie down and take this. You know, we knew in the dressing room, you know, that there was going to be a serious second half display put up against us, and Cork did that, and fair play to them.
It looked like it could have been a very runaway win for you, but it was a good contest there in the second half, and a good Camogie final.
Yeah, look, thanks be to God, it wasn't a runaway win. You know, Kilkenny last year to beat Clare well, and I don't think it did them any good. I think we'll have learned more from that second half today than we did probably from the first half, you know, so, you know, that's a good thing.
All right, congratulations, Tony.
Thanks, Lisa. Thanks a million.
Thanks a million.
That's Galway boss Tony Ward there speaking in the immediate aftermath of the win over Cork today. 215 to 212 was how that finished. So the big question is, how are Cork set for the Championship?
Oh, very well, I think. Very well. You know, as I've said, a lot to learn in the league, a lot that they'll have learned within that 60 minutes today as well, I think. So in a good position.
Certainly, so we're going to hear from Breed Corkery, also speaking to Lisa at the final whistle today.
Yeah, we're very disappointed. I suppose we're disappointed in our performance more than anything. You know, you don't mind losing if you give 100%, but, you know, to go down so much in the first half is very disappointing. I suppose we put up a better second half performance, and that's what we asked for at half time. It was always going to be hard to win at this level to come back by that much, but we believed in ourselves and we plugged away back. But I think, you know, we learned from it today that, you know, you can't come in blasé into any match, and that's what we're going to have to learn by.
And what was it, do you think, that you were left wanting in the first half to give them such a lead? Was it just particular areas of your game, or just not coming out of the traps?
I think, you know, we were training okay, and, you know, we just didn't come out of the traps. Maybe we thought that we were a bit blasé about things, and maybe we thought it was going to be a bit easier than we expected. I don't know what it was, but unfortunately Galway came out and they quietened us, and unfortunately that's the way the game's going. We're just going to have to learn from it, and you know, Championship is in 6-7 weeks time. We'll get a go off Galway again, and I'm sure we can improve.
Well, performance wise, like, it was very impressive towards the end. You held your composure, you were finding your passes, and that was pleasing to see.
Yeah, I think, you know, the girls believed in themselves, and that's the most important thing about this, is if, you know, as a unit, we need to believe in each other and believe as a team. So I think the girls did that, and you know, I was delighted with the second half performance as well, by 1-15 and the subs that came on. So we're just going to have to work hard enough for the next couple of weeks and see what happens.
All right, hard luck, Breed. Thanks for talking to us. That's Cork dual star Breed Corkery after today's Camogie final defeat to Galway here at Semple Stadium, the Big Red Bench, live from Thurles this evening. A little bit earlier on, I spoke to former Cork captain Linda Mellerick about this game as well, and asked her what she made of it.
Well, I suppose, you know, from Paddy Murray's perspective, I would think at the end he'd be relatively happy. You know, there were six players out there today playing their first league final. A big day for some of them, in particular, Lauren Callan in a right cornerback, and Leanne O'Sullivan in a left cornerback, for example. And, you know, they had a tough afternoon. Lauren had a tough hour, where she was withdrawn about 40, 45 minutes in. But, you know, he didn't whip her off, because this is what he wanted. He wanted them to get a taste of him. He wanted them, you know, to learn how to deal with days like today. And, you know, to cope with the tough going, and he gave them time, to be fair. So, you know, a lot to be positive of. The one thing I think that Cork will have to take from the game was the style of play they and the approach they had today. In the first half in particular, with the wind, you know, every one of them had this obsession with running with the ball, taking the tap on the hurley, running, and time again they ran into trouble and were overturned. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, noticeable that the two goals that Cork did get straight after half time were from long deliveries in, and had Cork continued that type of style throughout the whole game, it could have been a different game. But you know, I think they learned from that as well. So, you know, Paddy, you know, winning the league wasn't their target at the start of the year, but when you get there you want to win it. So I'd say disappointed probably not to win it, but at the same time not hugely disappointed, I would think, more probably taking the positives from the game than the negatives.
Yeah, because within the 60 minutes there was progress, a huge half time deficit that they cut down to just 3 points in the end.
Yeah, they won the second half by 2-7 to 5 points, you know, which was great, and we're pushing for the equaliser towards the end. Jim O'Connor came on at half time and made a difference, and that was Jim's first time figuring in the league. But I think what was evident as well is that Cork gave away a couple of few silly frees. Once they had pulled Galway back, they gave three frees away in a row, one penalty and two frees, and there was probably no need to give those away, because at that point Cork had the Galway players surrounded by 4-1 and they were going nowhere. So to give away a freeze like that was disappointing, because it kept that gap with Galway. But really, you know, Cork's second half play was certainly a lot better. I think, you know, between the first goal and the third and the second goal, there was another opportunity. Again, Aisling Thompson had the ball, and again a long delivery, and she had him split, but this time she again went to run it and did that a lot from midfield and then was overturned, you know. So I think that was the biggest feature of Cork's display today, the short game, the short passing game, the running even from their half back line out. And look, that has worked for them in the past, but when it's not working and when you come across a dogged team who are closing you down and are hungry, you have to be able to adapt, and they didn't adapt. Did it in patches in the second half, and then had Galway in disarray, but didn't do it enough.
And to their credit, as you mentioned, they had Galway in disarray at a stage, but Galway were strong. They started very well.
They were. Galway have a fine team, and you know, they had 10 of last year's group team semi-final 15 playing today, granted a few positional switches, but their half back line of Siobhan Keown, Shauna Healy, Lorraine Ryan were very strong. But at midfield they won hands down, really. You know, Niamh Kilkenny was absolutely outstanding centre field for them, and up front with Ailish O'Reilly and Orla McGrath, she went off, had got 2 points before she went off after about 15 minutes, so she was going to cause damage. And Molly Dunn inside and full forward, you know, they're very strong and experienced throughout the field. They had a couple of newcomers too, to be fair to them, but really, you know, physically I thought they were stronger too. You know, I thought Cork were, you know, particularly up front, they were very light. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think that needs to be looked at as well, in a tough game, you know. And I thought we were rounded easily as well a few times up in defence, because they just brushed us aside, and that, you know, we have to build up our physical strength.
Mm-hmm. And Linda, as the learning curve the Paddy wanted in terms of finding out about new players, we'll say there's retirements and positions to be filled. Mm-hmm. So who impressed for you today now that might, you know, have pinned down their place for championship?
Well, to be honest, very few Cork players I thought impressed today. You know, I don't think today will be their launching pad. It's more the consistency and how they develop over the coming months. Again, as I said, Lauren and Leanne inside in the corners. You also had Fionnuala Neville was out there. Amy O'Connor, you know, I'd say she found that going tough today. She got a lovely goal. She was very cool, and she has that cool head in front of goal. But the game didn't suit her, because the ball wasn't coming in fast enough. And when it was coming in at that point, it had slowed down. The defence were on top of her, and she physically got caught a few times and got beaten for pace, which is very unusual for Amy. And physically found it tough going, I'd say. So, but that's all. You know, these girls are very young. You know, they're 19 years of age. They've come onto the senior squad. They've had 5 or 6 games under their belt with this league, and I've no doubt, you know, it'll stand them come championship.
Mm. And how do you feel about Cork's chances of and the defence of their title now? They'll come up against this Galway side as well in the first round of the championship. How are you feeling about where they're at?
I think they're going along nicely. I still think Cork are the favourites to win the All-Ireland this year, despite that today. You know, they still have strong players to come back, you know, a fit and match fit Gemma O'Connor. You know, Aoife Murray come back in, even though Amy Lee, to be fair to us, done nothing wrong throughout the league and couldn't be blamed today for any of the goals. Yes, we've lost Jennifer O'Leary. But, you know, you've got Maria Walsh there. You know, you still have strong players to come in. And, you know, Cork were probably 3 weeks starting behind Galway, you know, throughout the league. So, you know, I think Cork are still kind of favourites to win this title. Galway will certainly push them. But when push, you know, when you look at the second half display as well and how Cork came back, you know, there's nothing between them really at this moment in time.
Thanks, Linda.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's former Cork star Linda Melrick there speaking to us after Cork's defeat to Galway today, 2:15 to 2:12. Capping off what's been a poor day from a Rebels perspective, 124 to 17 points was the margin of victory for Waterford over our Rebel hurlers earlier on today. A lot of work for Jimmy Barry Murphy and a selection team to do in the next 5 weeks before they meet in the Championship again, but not as bad for the Cork Camogie side this day. Look ahead to the Championship. One fixture tonight as well in the Senior Football Championship. Round 1, Noosa Town taking on Clonakilty. That's in Dunmanway at 7 p.m. Chelsea won the league today.
Chelsea won the league. I was away at the Hurling, came back to that news, was so shocked. Not, nobody ever. Boring Chelsea have won the league, and I love Jose Mourinho, so I'm thrilled for him.
Yeah, a 1-0 win for Chelsea. I don't know to hands how many of those they've had this season, but I'd imagine it's quite a bit. Eden Hazard with the goal there. He died, I think, for the penalty. It was awarded. He took the penalty. It was saved. And then he just headed home the rebound. So that was their 1-0 win. And Man City have had a 1-0 win over Tottenham Hotspur as well. Sergio Aguero with the game's only goal on 29 minutes earlier on today. Cork City are back in action tomorrow. It's been a bit of a wait for them from that defeat to Dundalk. Mm-hmm. I think personally I would prefer to get it out of my system by then. But they play Bohemians tomorrow in Dalymount Park.
Not an easy place to go to.
No, as we proved last year, Bows are Cork City's bogey team. Yeah. And it's been tough for them. Last year they went up there, pitch was dreadful. It was like a car park when they went up there. So it was poor from that perspective. And Bows are under something of a resurgence. This is second v third tomorrow night.
Yeah, it is indeed. And like you said, I think we could have got more of a reaction if it was a little bit sooner after the Dundalk defeat. Mm. But it's a hard place to go. I wouldn't be surprised if we came away with a scoreless draw.
Yeah, it's on tomorrow evening in Dalymount Park. City held our weekly press conference earlier on in the week, and there I got the thoughts of Cork City boss John Caulfield. Having a bit of difficulty with that John Caulfield audio there. We will come back to it a little bit later on, but Caulfield has some very, very interesting things to say on that Bohemians game, and indeed the defeat to Dundalk. A lot of work for them to do following that game. It was a disappointing result against Dundalk. There's no way to sugarcoat it. A poor performance by... Well, it wasn't even a poor performance. It was just Dundalk or better.
I was just going to interject there and say, in fairness to City, like, it was... Dundalk were superb that night.
So I wasn't angry leaving Turner's Cross. Normally when Cork City are beaten at Turner's Cross, I leave angry. It's the referee's fault. It's the linesman's fault. Mm. It's X, Y, and Z's fault. And I just kind of left.
But Rory, is that not a really disappointing thing to be saying?
No, I don't think so. Well, I mean, like...
Wouldn't you prefer to be like, oh, you know...
But I mean, like, I've been watching League of Ireland football for practically all my life, and that Dundalk team were genuinely one of the best teams I think I've ever seen.
They are, but the point I'm making is, does it not disappoint you to be able to say Dundalk were just far superior? Because on the back of last season, we should be able to say, and the squad improvements that City have made in the off-season and then early this season, that they should be well up there. Like, for me, the Dundalk match was maybe we're not up to where we were with the pitch Dundalk set last year.
Sometimes you're just beaten by the better team.
Yeah, but they were that night.
And you can't argue with that. I mean, like, just sometimes you're beaten by the better team. That was just one of those nights. But they have the chance to put it back right tomorrow. They're without John Dunleavy, who's going to be a massive loss for them, suffering that bad knee injury early on in that game against the Dock. I think it was like 60 minutes on the clock when he suffered that injury. He's had a bit of a history with knee problems, so it was disappointing from that perspective. But they go to Dalymount Park tomorrow night. I reckon a draw would be a good result for City tomorrow night, but I'm hopeful. 3 points.
Yeah, like I suppose at this stage a draw, but I think a draw for me would be disappointing just on the back of, again, the Dundalk match and that loss at home. Like, it would be a massive boost, I imagine, to squad morale to go up to Bowes, as you said, the bogey team. And
big wide pitch up in Dalymount Park as well, yeah. So never an easy place to go.
Yeah, never an easy place to go. I was up there last year, I think it was one of the cup matches, and, you know, like, yeah, very, very difficult, so...
Yeah, that's
we'll settle for a scoreless draw, so will we?
Yeah, we will indeed. All right, elsewhere today, the World Snooker Championship finally getting underway. Best of 35 frames between Sean Murphy and Stuart Bingham. They're level at 4 apiece after the opening session this afternoon. They'll resume not too long now from now, about 10 minutes' time. Level at 4 frames apiece. I've been really impressed with Stuart Bingham this week. He's played some lovely stuff, as has Sean Murphy. His cue action, his potting has been absolutely superb. But I like Stuart Bingham. He's a nice story. He's been trying very, very hard to get down to these semi-finals, the one table set up at the Crucible. He's finally done it. He was interviewed after his win in the quarterfinal with tears in his eyes. It was really, really nice.
Yeah,
I'd like to see him go on and win it.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of people were giving out actually about this World Snooker Championship win, such high profile games, like Ronnie O'Sullivan going out earlier this week. They were kind of disappointed that it was going to be, you know, it wasn't going to have the glamour of previous years, but I mean that was a really impressive one of the semi-finals. Bingham's semi-final last night, really, really impressive. But yeah, disappointing.
Elsewhere today at the World Golf Championship, Rory McIlroy currently playing Jim Furyk in the semi-final. At Rory McIlroy's quarter-final with Paul Casey, he ended up going to 22 holes. They had to finish earlier on today. McIlroy eventually winning. He couldn't go to the Pacquiao fight and the Mayweather fight last night over because he was playing extra holes.
Brilliant.
Against Paul Casey, but he's booked a semi-final spot against Jim Furyk. A bit of work for McIlroy to do. He is one down through 16, so just two more holes for McIlroy to pull it back, and the winner there would play Gary Woodland, who beat Danny Willett 3-2. We interviewed Danny Willett at the Irish Open last year, didn't we?
Nice
very nice guy.
Yeah, he suffers a lot with his back, but he's having a good run of it now.
He's having a very good start to the season, so nice to see Danny continuing that form. A semi-final spot for him, though, beaten by Gary Woodland today, 3-2. And we have to talk about the reason why I have drank a gallon of coffee today. I am hallucinating from all the caffeine coursing through my system, and that is staying up until 6:30 in the morning to watch Floyd Mayweather turn in a defensive masterclass against a poor and out of sorts Manny Pacquiao.
Okay, so yesterday evening on the show you predicted that this would be a massive letdown. You've just used the word masterclass, so does that save a little bit?
It's kind of hard to describe. I mean, like, watching Mayweather is an absolute pleasure. I mean, like, as a fighter, he just doesn't get hit. He doesn't allow fighters to hit him. It's not the most exciting thing to watch, but the way he defends shots by just rolling the shoulder and just coming back with a straight right left hook, it's absolutely beautiful to watch. It doesn't, like, I'm a boxing purist, I love the technical side of it, and I love watching a defensive counter puncher just work his magic and allow guys to come onto him and look for holes and fight back. You saw it a couple of times last night where Mayweather was on the ropes inviting Pacquiao on. Pacquiao would unleash a flurry and Floyd would just shake his head and say, no, all elbows, all gloves, not happening.
That's what it's been about Pacquiao, that probably people were intrigued by him coming into the fight because they were, you know, he had that ruthless streak where he would just go for it, but it didn't cause any problems for Mayweather.
Well, Pacquiao said afterwards that he had a shoulder injury, which I don't like.
He did.
I don't like fighters saying that in the immediate aftermath of a fight. You've just been beaten. Just say that you've been beaten by the better fighter. It's fine. It's okay. Don't come up with that injury thing. It just reeks of sour grapes. I didn't like it from Pacquiao last night when I heard that. Then he trotted up the shoulder injury line last night, but it was disappointing. But I have to say, I called it last night in the show. I said Floyd was going to win in points, didn't I?
You did.
My heart said Pacquiao. I wanted Pacquiao to win because personally, I don't like Floyd Mayweather. I don't think anybody...
I don't think you're alone there.
...likes Floyd Mayweather. As a fighter, as a boxer, as a pugilist, I gotta admire this guy. He's just beautiful to watch. It's poetry in motion watching Floyd Mayweather box. It's an absolute pleasure to watch him fight. It's just a shame it doesn't make for exciting fights. It's not
contest.
Exactly. It's not exactly Hagler v. Hearns when Mayweather steps into the ring. He goes in with a game plan. He doesn't like getting hit. Well, I suppose name a boxer that does. But he's just so composed, so relaxed, so calm. It's a pleasure just watching him take those punches, move around. and just roll, and it was just glorious.
So that was what, 48 last night?
48.
Who's going to be 49?
Amir Khan was making the right noises last night. He reckons, well, I suppose there's been 48 men who reckon that they can be the one to take Mayweather's away from him. Amir reckons that he's got the speed, he's got the size advantage. I mean, there was a considerable size advantage last night between Floyd and for Floyd over Manny, but Amir Khan says he can do it. There's people clamouring for a rematch between himself and Manny. I don't really want to see it after watching it last night. It was a bit of a disappointment. I'm kind of really conflicted about this.
I have to say, you sound really enthusiastic and really energised by it, like for a fight that was so disappointing.
I was disappointed by the fight, and I just can't help but admire Floyd Mayweather. It's one of those weird things.
Oh, I think, as you said, lots of people probably, no more than yourself, have caffeine running through the veins today.
I said my buddies watched it in my mate's house and got back to the house at 6:45 in the morning. I got like 2.5 hours sleep before you were picking me up to come to Simple Stadium here. I told myself I'd sleep in the car because you were driving, and I didn't. So now I'm just looking for more caffeine to stay awake. But I think that's why I'm so energised talking about the fight. I think it's just the caffeine coursing through my veins.
I think you've hit the wall, got over it, and now you're running a marathon.
I'm legging it towards the wall again.
Yeah, well, I think that pretty much brings us to a finish here at Simple Stadium this evening. But before I do go, you mentioned it a little while ago that there's a Senior Football Championship Rank 1 clash coming up very, very shortly in Dunmanway. That's the meeting of Newcestown and Clon, and I'll be talking about that in sports tomorrow. Obviously, results yesterday saw Nemo overcoming Island Rovers 118-10 points, while Donny's got the better of Ahada 111-10 points. Three big matches tomorrow. The first one at 3:30 is Bishopstown meet O'Donovan Rossa in Clonakilty. At 4:45, the meeting of County Champions Ballincollig. They begin their defence against St Finbar's, a side that they met in the first round last year, of course, in that match in Porky Rind tomorrow. And the one I'm going to tomorrow evening when I finish up on sport on Red FM tomorrow is at 6:45. That's the meeting of Carberry Rangers and Valley Rovers. That's in Balnascarthy. An interesting one, of course, with last year's beaten finalists going up against the Premier Intermediate Champions from last year. So that's the Club Championship Round 1 action this weekend, and looking forward to more of it tomorrow.
Right, that's pretty much it from us from Semple Stadium. Thanks very much indeed to Thurles Greyhound Stadium, who've been very helpful to us today. Thanks to John and Denise, our patrollers, for all the fantastic and hard work they've done over the last 10 hours. It's been absolutely incredible, the work they've done. Thank you, guys. Thanks to Izzy and Lana back at base for holding it all together. Thank you very much indeed for listening to us this evening on the Big Red Bench as we broadcast live from Semple Stadium for a disappointing day.
Bring on
the double. All right, that is it from us. Our show will be online, but it'll be tomorrow because we'll be travelling back from Thurles, and we have no one back in the studio to put it online for us. So that'll be online tomorrow. You'll have the discussion with Pat Mulcahy, Tomás Mulcahy and Eamon Murphy available to listen to. redfm.ie/sport is the place you can get in, and we are on Twitter at Big Red Bench. Thank you very much indeed for joining us from this broadcast from our fantastic, is this a tent?
It is.
What you call it? A marquee. Fantastic marquee in Semple Stadium. Thank you very much indeed for joining us. Ashley's up next with Green on Red. Enjoy your evening, folks. We'll be back next Saturday from 6.
Missed the show? Grab the Big Red Bench podcast at redfm.ie.
Getting you closer to rugby with Irish Independent Park. Epic stories start here.
Red FM.